Good morning, everyone. I wish I could say it's nice to see you because I wish I could see you. But it's kind of fun to interact through the comments down there like you guys are doing. And I got to say, this is really, really strange for me to be speaking to you this way because behind me is a green screen and we're not at the church building and we don't have the equipment to do a live stream from there at this point. But anyway, this is a way for us to be able to share the word, and also just wanted to remind people that after I'm done sharing God's word this morning, we're going to have a call-in conference call. The president has declared today a National Day of Prayer, and certainly a lot of things to pray for. So I did email out to everyone the information on how you can call in just using your normal phone to join a conference call, and then you just have to call that number and then enter the meeting ID and then you can join the conference call. And also mentioned in that same email I sent out this morning to the announce list that you can join it via video. Linda and I are going to be on the call using video and audio. So if you are so inclined and want to use the Zoom app on your phone or device, you can do that. But otherwise, it's just very simple to use your phone and call in, and we can take turns praying and sharing prayer requests and so on. I thought that might be kind of an opportunity for us to kind of engage in some fellowship, even though we're not face to face all together today. That would be a way we could do that. So anyway, how about if I start off just committing the time to God in prayer, and then we'll go from there, okay? Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for just even the technology that we can have, that even though it's not the same as being all together, it does at least give us some sense of community and a sense of continuity. In terms of being together and connecting in this way. And so, Lord, I pray today that whether it's somebody that normally comes to Darby Creek or someone else that's watching that maybe our folks share the feed with, that you would just use this time, use the time in the Word, use your Scripture to encourage and give people hope and see that we don't have to fear. And that we can pray that we'd all be experiencing the peace that passes understanding. And so, Lord, I pray to be glorified through this time and help me to communicate well through this medium. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so as I've been thinking a lot about just different scriptures and so on that talk about fear and experiencing the peace of God, I just obviously, with all that's going on with the coronavirus and the precautions that are being taken, a lot of people are anxious. I went to a grocery store yesterday morning because we had our men's breakfast. And I was there at 5 a.m. and I've never seen so many people shopping at 5 a.m. and it was just kind of, obviously, these are just unique times and so on. But I was just thinking that, you know, people are getting overwhelmed with fear. And so I just thought I wanted to communicate a message of way that we can experience God's perfect peace in a midst of kind of uncertain times. You know, if you're like me, sometimes the more you spend on media and hearing all the information, it can almost just pile on this tendency to be anxious. And so this verse really caught my eye as I was looking up scriptures on this topic of fear and anxiety. And Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And so our time here online this morning, I'm just going to simply talk about that verse. We'll look up other verses and explain those. But that's really kind of the theme verse for today is how to go from overwhelming fear to perfect peace. And I love that verse, how it talks about we can experience God's perfect peace. And there's a way we can access that. And so as you think about it, and as I've been thinking about it, I kept coming back to the fact that, you know, how can we go through challenging, you know, foundation rocking times in situations like this and not be shaken? I was thinking about a time when I taught in one of the classrooms at the local community college here, and there it was a time here in Ohio when there was actually an earthquake. And I know there's lots of earthquakes all the time, but they're very, very minor. We rarely even feel them. But at that time, we were on the fourth floor of this building, and the lights were doing this, and students were afraid, and they looked to me for direction. They looked, basically, when that happened, they looked to me to give them direction. And I was just thinking that, you know, we need to have a solid foundation, and the way we're going to have that solid foundation is we needed to look to God. And that may seem like kind of master of the obvious, but I do think that, you know, this is a natural time that we kind of look to God, whether we have a relationship with Him or not. We're wondering what's going on. We're wondering, are we going to get sick, or all these things, or am I going to have a job, or who's going to watch the kids when I have to go to my job because they're home from school, and lots of things. And so so I think it's just only natural we look to God in times like this. And getting back to this idea of the foundation, first, if we got to make sure we're building on a solid foundation. I was thinking about this verse that's familiar here in Matthew chapter 7. It's a wonderful reminder when Jesus was speaking, and he said the following words here. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And so, you know, Jesus's point there, you know, he was really talking about obedience. And you think about the house, there is our lives. You know, the construction of the house in those verses is our lives. And the question is, what are we building our lives upon? What is the foundation? And Jesus is saying, is the person who builds their foundation of their life on the Word of God and who follows that, they will be able to withstand the storms of life. Even some of the words that he uses, the rain fell, the floods came, right? The winds blew and beat against that house. I mean, that isn't that sort of what's happening in life today here, even around the globe? Is just that this is like a massive storm, and it's rocking the foundations. And Jesus is saying, if you make the Word of God and a commitment to that and obedience, that if we commit to that and we live our lives by that Word, we will be able to withstand the storms. We will have a solid foundation. Though all could be going on around us, you know, and we might even get sick or whatever, but if we base our lives on what the Scripture says, then we will withstand the tide and the storm. So I just thought it's important for us to get that right, as they're saying that that's why we want to look to see what God's Word has to say about experiencing this perfect peace. Because if we base our lives on that truth, then we will remain unshaken. Now, there's some other scripture that also talks about Jesus Christ as being a type of rock, a solid foundation, if you will. Here it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, "As you come to him as a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, 'Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame.'" And I really like that first verse in that passage. Says, as you come to him, this living stone, Jesus Christ, is the cornerstone of the foundation of the church. And we need to build our lives on Jesus Christ. And that's what it's part of what it means to be building our lives on a solid foundation, on something that will be not be shaken, is we have to build our lives on Jesus Christ and who the Scripture says he is. I was thinking about also in 1 Peter in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4. I need to look it up on my phone because I had it there. 1 John chapter 4 says, "By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is also, so also are we in the world." And then it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." What's he talking about? He's talking about the idea that, you know, if I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, if he is the foundation of my life, if I have put my faith in him, I have escaped what I should ultimately be afraid of, which is separation from God for all eternity. And we've escaped the wrath of God because of our sin if we put our faith in Christ. And so Peter's simply reminding us that, you know, perfect love casts out fear. If we have experienced the love of Christ, if we put our faith in him, then we have him as a part of our foundation of our life. And we have confidence that if we have accepted Christ as our Savior and asked him to forgive us, then we have confidence before God that no matter what happens, our eternal destiny is secure. We have a living hope, it says there in Peter. And so I just thought it was important to get first things first. You know, if we're talking about experiencing the perfect peace of God, we have to really have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that's the foundation of the truth of Scriptures that matters the most. And so, and honestly, you know, it doesn't matter how long somebody's been coming to church. Sometimes they can go to church and not really have a relationship with God. They're interested in religion. They want to even maybe learn about God, but we need to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In fact, John chapter 1 says, "For as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." And so I just want to make sure that in hearing this message about experiencing God's perfect peace, we have to have peace with God first and have a relationship with him. Otherwise, we'll lack the resources God supplies a believer. Because if we don't have a relationship with God through Jesus, we're not a believer, and we therefore do not have his Holy Spirit. We won't be able to understand the Word of God to apply it and help us. And so that's the foundation that has to be laid. And so I hope that anyone who's listening or watching has not put their faith in Christ, that they would, just by an expression of prayer, just admit their need for a Savior, that they've sinned, and that sin separates them from God. and that Christ died to come and make it so that we could be made right with God and experience the peace of God. And so that gets us in the right footing and the right foundation. Now, so part of building our lives on the Word of God is listening to what the Bible says about Jesus Christ and how we are to come to Him and believe in Him, and doing so gives us access to the peace that God can give us. And so that's just a summary of basically what I just said. So back to this verse that I started off with here. This verse says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, as you look at that verse, it uses a phrase, at least in the English Standard Version, that's a little unusual. It says, whose mind is stayed on you. This is the idea of, what am I focusing on? And he's saying, well, part of experiencing the perfect peace of God, and again, it starts by having a relationship with God through Jesus, but then to remain and experience the peace of God in regardless of the circumstances, we need to keep our focus on God. It's so easy to be distracted. I don't know about you, but probably within the last 10 years or so, I find myself being so easily distracted, with my technology. And it's a great tool and everything, but technology has sometimes got us, it's so easy to lose our focus. And the same thing can happen with us spiritually. Things go on, and life goes on, and we kind of lose our focus. We need to keep it on God. And so it's the mind who has stayed or fixed on you. And so let's take a look at this. This verse tells us the key way to experience the perfect peace of God is a focus on God, a mind stayed or unfocused on Him. And so, you know, a question to ask yourself is, if somebody looked at your life and how you're living, would they say your life is God-focused? Would they say your life is God-focused? You know, am I engaged in the Word of God? Do I care about God's people? I mean, but generally, am I making decisions according to God's Word? And do I seek out wisdom from God and His Word? Those are all indicators that my focus in life is on God. And so it's important that if we want to experience the perfect peace of God, He has to remain at the center and the focus of our lives. Now, like I said, as I began earlier, you know, at times like this, when things are kind of going crazy, it gets our attention, and often it is a time when we do look to God. Now, the verse also mentions there in Isaiah 26:3, it talks about the factor of trusting in God is a key to experiencing His peace. Right? I mean, this is what the verse says. It talks about, you know, because we trust in Him, as it says at the end of there in Isaiah 26:3. So I want to spend the remainder of the time here just talking about how do we grow in trusting God, because this is really the key here. Is if we want to experience the perfect peace of God and we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and therefore the Bible says He's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through Jesus Christ. So it's almost like the vault of resources is open to me, but I have to access the resources that God supplies to experience the perfect peace. And trusting God, expressing our trust in God and growing in our trust in God is going to be critical. And so, just to answer a few things and ways that we can grow in our trust in God. Well, we grow in trust in God as we grow in our understanding of Him as revealed in the Bible. You know, you think about it. The better you know someone, the more likely you're going to trust them, and the more you trust them with. And you trust them with deeper things, confidential things, the more you know them. And it's really no different in our relationship with God. Is the more we understand Him, the more we learn about God in the Bible. And that's really where we need to go. We can't rely on movies to teach us about who God is and how he is and what Jesus Christ is like. And we need to go to the source he gave us, the Bible. And he has revealed him, God has revealed himself to us through the scriptures, and that's where we need to go. And so, you know, I would just encourage you that you have a regular time with God in the Bible, that start doing that. And you ask God to reveal himself to you, and he will. If you honestly want to know God better and you want to grow in your understanding of him, you know, start off in the Gospels somewhere. Take a look in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark or the Gospel of John, something like that, where you're really going to get to know who Jesus is and you're going to see how he lived his life and you'll see his core teachings and so on. And you will get to know the God of the Bible as you get to know Jesus Christ through the Bible. And so I can't stress it enough that in our world today, there is a lack of correct information about who God is and even what Christianity is. There's so much misinformation. And so go to the source, read the Bible. And so that's the first thing. We grow in our trust in God as we grow in our relationship with him. It's just think about it like any other relationship. We grow in trust in God as we act on what God shows us in his word. Remember, even going back to that Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus was talking about obedience. He who hears my word, right, and who does it. And so there's a promise, and I've mentioned it a number of times at our church, and maybe we're getting tired of hearing it, but it's just a great promise. It says in John 14:21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and listen, I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now that last part tells me that as I step out and as I read the Word of God, or as I hear it taught, even like today, that as I act on that, as I believe it, as I obey it, whatever the Word says, as I act on it, God manifests himself to us. And I would liken that to as we grow closer to him. And so it's almost like this cycle, as we trust God with what he shows us and we obey it, our relationship with God and our trust grows. And so therefore, again and again, as we trust his word, we grow closeness in our walk with him, and he shows himself to us in our understanding of him. And so, again, obedience is key if we want to grow in trust. I mean, isn't that really what obedience is? We trust what the Word of God is, and we act and we live our life on that foundation. Whether what God says, think about what God has to say about marriage if you're married. Are you living your life according to what God says in your marriage, in your marriage relationship, and how you're treating one another? How you work, how you do your job, or do you do it with integrity? And just all those things speak to whether we are acting on what the scripture says. And so you want to grow in trust, step out and do what God has shown us. I think about there in Psalm 119, where it talks about thy word, a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I've often heard it described as, you know, as you step out and obey God's word, and you think about that word as a lamp to my feet. It's like you're walking in the darkness and you've got this little lamp on your feet, and you take a step and you see what's next. You see what you can do. And he showed you what to do next as you obey what he has already shown you. Isn't that key? How many times, you know, I think about when I've went to a conference or heard somebody preach the Bible or read something in a book and I didn't put it into practice. And we're not perfect. That's why Christ came. But if we want to experience a growing walk and an increase our trust so that we can, again, experience God's perfect peace, then we need to be ones who are acting on it and obeying. So growing in our understanding, growing in our obedience are all factors to growing in our trust of God. Now, we grow in trust in God by as we let go, as we let go of our ideas of how things should go in life. This may sound a little strange, but this is basically about relinquishing control. We can get very anxious when things don't go the way we would like them to, whether it's on our job, with our friends, whatever it is. You know, nobody likes what's going on with what's happening with this virus. And that really is a curveball in our lives. And so if I let that dictate how I approach my life and how I'm going to go forward, I'm not going to experience peace. And so I need to, in a sense, surrender to the will of God in my life. And if things are happening in my life I didn't plan for, then I have to trust God with that. And so we just have to kind of let go of those things and give them over to God. When I think about that letting go and that trust factor, I think about this verse here, these verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's a great promise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I think that's part of letting go. God, I don't understand. We come to God in prayer and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why this is going on. I don't understand, what's happening in this relationship or with my kids. And so we have to come to God and surrender and admit that, say, I don't know what's going on. However, I trust you. I trust you to help guide me. I trust you to help give me wisdom. I trust you as I look to your word. And then it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And that's all part of that foundation I talked about, is putting God first. Really, if you think about it, when he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, that's what it means. I'm forever putting God in front of me. I want to know what he thinks. I want to get his mind on it. I want to experience his peace that he has to offer. And it's really just, it's really about having a God-centered life. And so, but this first part of verse 5 really relates to that idea of kind of letting go of, sometimes we have to let go of our dreams. There are some things in my life I thought would have happened by now, but they haven't. And so part of following God is trusting him with those things. And that just wasn't meant to be, so to speak, or he wanted to use those things in our lives to draw us close to him. So this idea of letting go is important. This might go without saying, but this last point I want to make about how to grow in our trust in God is just to grow, is to turn to God in prayer. Turn to God in prayer. Talk to God about our fears. Talk to God about our anxiety. When I first, I'm going to grab my Bible here. When I first was going to share the message today, I was actually going to talk to you about, it's in Psalm 61. Let me get there real quick. Psalm 61 is just a prayer, really, as many of the Psalms are. So Psalm 61 in verse 1, and so just connecting with this idea of prayer. And you might want to just use the Psalms as a springboard to prayer, because so many of them are prayers. It says, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you, when my heart is faint. And so this is a Psalm of David, and so he may have been away from Jerusalem. He may have been far from the place where he would normally go to worship. But he's saying, God, hear my prayer. When my heart is faint. And then it says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. You know, most of us don't have physical enemies like David was talking about, but our fears can be our enemies. Sin in our life that we're fighting against can be our enemies. often our own thoughts. We have to take those captive, as the scripture says, to come in alignment with what scripture says. But even praying scripture like that, or along with, you know, kind of saying the script, reading the scriptures, and then just kind of praying those back to God, helps us trust God. Again, this is a relationship with God we're talking about here, and it's not God. As we seek Him out, He draws near to us, and He does that in prayer. I don't understand how exactly prayer works. I mean, only God knows, but He hears our prayers. He uses it to draw us to Himself. If you have the Holy Spirit in you because you're a Christian, then our spirit wants to connect with His Spirit, and that happens through prayer. And so I just encourage you, maybe use this time to increase your trust with God, to spend some time in prayer. Take the things of God, the things that are on your mind, in prayer. Again, a familiar verse here, verses Philippians 4, 6, and 7 about prayer, specifically with regard to anxiety. It says, do not be anxious. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a great promise? Maybe you're even familiar with it, but you haven't really thought that much about it lately with what's going on. And so, one summary I've heard of those verses is, don't worry about anything, pray about everything. And I think that's true. I mean, that's what God wants us to do. And so we grow our trust of God by praying, by growing in our understanding of God, in our obedience, and also letting go and giving over our circumstances to Him and trusting Him. I wanted to just end with this psalm here this morning, Psalm 5, verse 11. It says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. In other words, all this stuff's going on, these things that could cause a lot of anxiety in our lives, but what we need to do as we turn to God, we can rejoice because He's in control. It says, let them ever sing for joy and spread protection over them. Isn't that great? It's a protection prayer too. That those who love your name may exalt you. And so let me just say to any believer right now is that, people are looking for hope, and they're looking for the purpose in all this, and they're looking for direction, and they're looking for peace. And so Christ is it. Jesus Christ is it. And again, the whole purpose of this message is to say, we need to access the resources God has given us as believers. And we only do that by trusting Him. It's a faith factor. That's what it is. And so, but we can share our faith with others. We need to exude a trust in God that's authentic. And when people see that, when people see that we're trusting God and we're not freaking out over what's going on, we can have concern but not freak out, that when we are calm and have the peace of Christ, people will see that, and we will have opportunities to give a reason for the hope that's in us. And so I really hope that you and I, as believers and followers in Jesus, we will ask God to have us courage to speak about Him in these times right now. So I want to go ahead and just end in prayer. And I hope that the time in God's Word has just reminded us the importance of the foundation and what we're building our lives upon, having a Godward focused life, His Word at the center, and then also some thoughts and scriptures on how we can grow in our trust. Because that Isaiah 26:3, let me just say it one more time here. You keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Why? It says, because He trusts in you. And that's the key here for us to experiencing God's perfect peace, is trust. And that trust has to grow. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to even share the word here online today. And as we heard the word, God, I just pray that it would bring us hope. It would draw us closer to you. Help us, God, to have the right foundations and the right focus in our lives. As I was saying here at the end, Lord, help us to be aware as our lives are made right with you through Jesus Christ, and as we are growing in our trust, Lord, help that trust and that God confidence that we have in you. Help us, help others to see that. And then as they see that, help us, Lord, to be able to give a witness about you, and that you're the reason. It's not because we're so courageous, it's because you help us be that way. Lord, I also just pray that as a church family, you'd help us as individuals collectively to be servants to those around us. Help us to not be selfish, but help us to be like Jesus, who are servants. It says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so help us to have a servant's heart, and to be a light for you in these times. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.